Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We'd love to hear from you. To learn how we can pray for you or answer any questions, you can email Pastor John directly at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Anybody drive by the Methodist Church this week? If you did, you probably noticed that this Sunday is Chocolate Sunday. Now, I don't know what Chocolate Sunday is, but I know what some of you are thinking. Annual meeting Sunday or Chocolate Sunday? And some of you still aren't quite sure what in the world Annual Meeting Sunday is, and quite frankly, Chocolate Sunday sounds a whole lot more interesting. So I'm sorry, I have no chocolate for you today, and instead you have to suffer through my annual pastor's report. Sounds boring, right? No, thank you. In all seriousness, we don't let annual meeting get boring around here. For us, this is not just business. This is part of our worship. It's a celebration of what God has been doing in our midst this past year. It's an opportunity to reflect on where we have been, where we are, and where we believe God is leading us. And as our theme this year, I've been particularly struck by that phrase that we've used this morning already, all things new, all things new. And as I reflect on this past year and what God seems to be doing in our midst, I want to tell you this. Before I tell you anything else, I want to tell you this, that I believe God is doing a new thing in our church and in our community. So regardless of whatever else you might hear today, numbers, finances, the challenges of a small church, the challenges of an aging congregation, the gap, the missing appearance of young and middle-aged adults, regardless of those challenges and hurdles you'll hear about today, I want you to hear this. Above and beyond everything else, that we serve a God who is making all things new, and a God who can do a brand new thing right here in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. During Lent, we closed each service with these words from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may, say it with me, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Overflowing with hope. Those are the words that ought to characterize the life of a Christian. As followers of the risen Christ, we ought to be the most hopeful of all people. We need not hang our heads in despair or wring our hands in disgust, for we serve a risen Christ who makes all things new. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Well, during the last several weeks, we focused on this idea of life transformations, looking at the encounters that Jesus had, an encounter with a Pharisee named Nicodemus, an encounter with an unnamed woman at the well, an encounter with a man born blind, and an encounter with a dear friend named Lazarus. We were reminded that Jesus gives us a fresh start as we're born again, that He's the living water springing up to new life within us, that He gives sight to blind eyes, and that He is victorious over death and the grave. Simply put, we are optimistic and hopeful because we believe that God has the power to transform individuals. But not only that, we believe He can do more than transform individuals, but that He can transform communities as well. Churches, towns, villages, even our world. He does not simply abandon us to our own devices, but is in the midst of making all things new. This is not simply pie in the sky hope. This is certain hope that we have because of the empty tomb. Because God raised Christ from the dead, we can be certain He's making all things new, daily renewing us, our relationships, our heart, our families, our church, and even our world. This, This is the hope of resurrection people who have Christ in their hearts. Well, before I give you some highlights from this past year, I want to share some scriptures. Scriptures that help us to understand this ongoing redemptive work of God. I already heard that great passage from John chapter 20 when Jesus breathes on the disciples and tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. And you heard the words of Paul when he tells the believers in Ephesus that they can have new life. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Well, Paul actually seems to indicate that this is a common phrase. He says, as it is said, he reads this. We don't know exactly, though, where it comes from. You're not going to find this phrase like this anywhere else in Scripture. Maybe it was the words to an early hymn of the church, or perhaps from an early form of the creed. But perhaps it is loosely based upon a series of verses in the book of Isaiah. This first set, I'm going to read several sets of verses from Isaiah. This first set is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Or from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Chapter 26, verse 19, but your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Or this familiar passage from Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, he says. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Pastor, these are verses we normally read during Advent and Christmas time. They're words that handle quotes in the Messiah. We're quick usually to apply them to the birth of Jesus, the baby in the manger. And yet contained within these words is not just Advent hope, not just Christmas hope, but resurrection hope as well. Arise, shine. In the land of the shadow of death, a light. The dead will live, their bodies will rise, the earth will give birth to her dead, and God is doing a new thing, making a way in the desert. There's one particular thing I notice in these verses. Is that in these verses from Isaiah, God is not talking to people, to individuals, to single people. God is talking to plural people, to communities, in this case, to the nation of Judah. In their immediate historical context, these verses are about the return of the nation from exile. They're about the new birth the nation is experiencing as they return to their homeland, as they come back to life. It's only in their broader context we recognize them as prophetic texts about the work of Jesus and the new life we find in the empty tomb. But it's important, here's the point, it's important for us to note that in these verses, God is first talking about redeeming a community. Certainly, we believe God transforms the lives of individuals. We just spent 4 weeks through Lent talking about that. But we also know that God works in and through the lives of individuals. He also has the power to transform communities. And so today we celebrate that God is making all things new right here at the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. This is, believe it or not, my 11th annual meeting with you. And we've enjoyed 10 years together. It has been a marvelous time. We have seen in that time, though, lots of ups and downs. It's been some good times. There have been some tighter, more difficult times. There have been some pretty tight years financially. Some of those still exist. We've prayed about how to reach out to children and young people. That was a struggle we had for quite a while. We prayed about that. We shared in the painful recognition that this is an aging congregation. I guess all congregations are aging congregations, aren't they? We also recognized during that time that ours was not only a small congregation, but one that was geographically scattered. And that brought some unique challenges to it. And I don't want to suggest that we're going to wear rosy glasses and pretend all the obstacles are behind us. I don't think they are. The fact is, we are a small church. It's possible, my friends, that we will always be a small church. We may always deal with the struggles and obstacles and hurdles that a small church deals with, a small church which often seems to be just a few heartbeats away from wondering how we will carry on. But you know, there is a definite place in the kingdom of God for small churches. There should have been an amen there. There's a definite place in the kingdom of God for small churches.
Amen.
All right. There's one study out there that says that 70% of churches of the Nazarene in the United States are small churches, meaning they have an average weekly attendance of less than 100. 70%. And that's not unique to the Church of the Nazarene. The numbers are a little different, but they're close across the board in many denominations. Within the small church, there are certain strengths that you find. There's a certain level of familiarity, of authenticity, of intimacy. Last week, we welcomed 4 new members to our congregation. Talk about making all things new. Amen. That's right. Good. Interestingly enough, each of those new members came from a background that involved at least one larger church. And when asked what drew them here, each new member mentioned, among other things, but one of the things that they mentioned was that they found something here that only a small church has offered them so far. Authenticity, familiarity, opportunities to be quickly involved in ministry, not getting lost in the crowd, so to speak. And indeed, each of our new members hasn't wasted any time participating in various projects or ministries. One of the specific obstacles that we've faced has to do with our ability to impact this particular community, the community of Cape Elizabeth. Some of you who've been here for almost 45 years remember that even when we were founded, we were a congregation with a large percentage of commuters. Commuters who felt a burden for outreach in this town. And in some of those early years and early reports you might read, where church members were encouraged to participate in Cape Elizabeth activities as much as possible, even driving into Cape in order to do banking or grocery shopping in hopes of engaging the community and reaching out in an evangelical sense so that outreach contacts might be made. Well, nearly 45 years later, we are still primarily a commuter church. Much of our congregation still based in South Portland, a handful of Cape residents, and the rest of us scattered between 20 and 45 minutes away. Falmouth, Windham, Old Orchard Beach, Biddeford, Sanford, Gorham, and I apologize if I forgot your town. There's a lot of them. The geographic diversity has done a couple things for us. It's let us have a broader reach in the greater Portland area, a fact that was recognized when our last mission statement was crafted. The Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene is a beacon of hope and holiness to greater Portland, we said, by providing opportunities for worship, friendship, guidance, compassionate service, and sharing the good news of Christ. But one of the struggles of a small regional congregation is still with us. It's the difficulty of reaching the community that hosts our church building. And yet, we are serving a God who makes all things new. Over time, we've partnered with the Cape Elizabeth United Methodist Church for various community and Holy Week worship services. Your pastor's been involved in the community through volunteering in the school, sharing in the Memorial Day Parade, even working at Rudy's for a while, and most recently through our partnership with Hobbs Funeral Home. But here's the good news, is that in this past year, we've begun to see our demographic shift in this regard, and I'm very excited about it. We've been thrilled to welcome the Van Sickles and Darcy and Violet and Phil Cox into our worship and our fellowship, and with more Cape Elizabeth residents as part of our fellowship. I believe the way is being prepared for us to better impact this community, that God is doing a new thing in our midst. I'll tell you this morning, I don't know what. I'm not sure I know where that is going. I don't have an answer that I have packaged for you this morning. But it's my prayer that we'll recognize the opportunities that come our way and see the new thing that God is doing. Well, another of our struggles during the past years has been a children's ministry. Some of you remember praying we would have children to join us, fervently praying for children. Others of you also remember realizing that if we were going to pray for children, we had better also pray for children's workers. And during the last 6 years, we've really seen some tremendous growth in this area. God continues to make all things new. And this year, I think, was possibly the best year, at least in recent memory, for children's ministry here. Mona shared her report in the Sunday School Hour. I hope you read it in your book. But a couple things bear repeating this morning. Between our programs here and at the campground, we touched the lives of 17 children through Vacation Bible School. Pastor Gloria, during that week, worked with some children on some songs, and at that point, the idea of a children's Christmas musical was born. We had a number of children and adults participate in 10 weeks' worth of rehearsals, and there were 65 people in attendance on the Sunday before Christmas, which was, by the way, the highest attendance since Easter of 2007. In addition, our children have been regularly involved in Sunday school and missions education, but they're also learning about service to others as they go and they minister at the Veterans Home and other places. But certainly the highlight of all of that work that Mona and Kathy and the other children's workers have been putting in, the highlight of all that was last week as we watched 6 of our children make a public confession of faith and to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. Indeed, God is making all things new. I know, attendance numbers don't tell the whole story. I don't usually get too hung up on numbers. And those who were with us through the winter know it was a difficult winter. Lots of snow, lots of cold, lots of sickness, and rising gas and oil prices. And yet, we do believe we're on a particular trajectory when it comes to worship attendance. This year, we averaged 39 in morning worship, which was up from 37 last year, and 36 the year before that. But more than that, here's what I want to highlight this morning is not just those average numbers, but I want to highlight our potential impact. Listen to this. We had 65 people at Christmas, as I already mentioned. We had 64 people last week at Easter. We had 70 people at our homecoming picnic. That for us is our potential, our outreach. These are not simply numbers, but numbers who represent people, people for whom we are responsible, that we should seek to include in the full life and fellowship of the church. And in particular, I hope you join me in praying for the parents of the many children who attend, that they might also fully experience the new life that is found in Christ. He is indeed making all things new. Obviously, another of the struggles in a small church is that of finances. I'll look at Darlene because Brenda's with her family this morning. Right, Darlene? Absolutely. During our membership class, one of our new members observed that the administrative costs of a small church are higher per person than those of a larger church. This is simple math. It makes sense. The utility bills divided among 40 people look vastly different than utility bills divided by 400 people. So to address this, we've continued to function with a bivocational pastoral arrangement, enjoying that partnership with Hobbs, one that's not only practically beneficial, but missionally effective. Numbers don't tell the whole story, but as we reflect on the financial numbers, I'm continually reminded of God's faithfulness and the sacrificial generosity of his people. Thank you. We've continued to make progress paying on our denominational allocations, this year paying nearly 93% of our allocations, which is up from 81% last year and 64% the year before. We're in the middle of a faith promise campaign that's on track to substantially exceed our missions giving for the last several years. God is making all things new. We also recognize the needs are great. And Darlene shared this morning in our budget report, as oil prices and health insurance costs continue to climb, we cannot simply continue to operate with the same budget from previous years. In order to continue to be missionally effective, we cannot simply maintain the status quo, but must continue to find ways to support the work of the local church. So each of us, I hope, will pray and consider how we might help to grow our weekly tithes and offerings as we give to God. The trustees have been hard at work continually assessing the physical needs of our buildings. In 2007, we built a new deck for the parsonage before it fell off, which was good. And we embarked on a capital campaign at that point with some long-range goals in place, including some work on the parking lots, the church basement, and the roofs at both properties. We've completed some of the stages of that capital campaign. God has entrusted us with beautiful facilities. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
He's also called us to be good stewards of those properties. So this year we enter into the third phase of that capital campaign, and we're asking your help to raise enough money to replace the parsonage roof. You'll find a pledge card in your bulletin, little green cardstock thing, and I hope you'll take it home with you. Don't give that back to us today. I would hope that you would take it home with you and pray about it, and to consider how God might lead you to give toward this project. It might be a one-time gift. It might be a regular weekly gift. But we need each of us to participate at the level that God leads. You say, Pastor, we don't have a goal yet. We need a goal to do this, don't we? Well, we don't actually have a goal because we don't actually have a quote. But this is nothing new to us. We have practiced this for years with our Faith Promise campaign. And we've not put out numbers and said we need to raise this amount. We've said to you, go home and ask God what he would have you give. Say it again, May.
It works.
It works. It works. We finished the month of March, and I told you that I had prayed about a particular number to finish the month of March with our books strong, and we were $8 off from that number when we got to the end, $8 over that number when we got to the end of the year. It works. We will be good stewards, and we will come up with good numbers, I'm certain. But we want to ask you to pray about that this month. Bring those cards back. We're not asking you to bring the cash in by the end of the month. We're asking you to pray about a pledge that you might fulfill sometime during the year. One of the things I've loved about our new members and friends is their enthusiasm for being involved. Whether it's cleaning the church, taking on a new ministry, leading a children's choir, visiting someone in the hospital, or looking for something that needs to be done and doing it. Indeed, I am convinced that God is doing a new thing here in Cape Elizabeth. As Jean has often prayed during the Wednesday night prayer and fellowship group, I pray that we will grasp that vision that God has for us, that we will have the God-given vision to know what it is and to participate in what he is doing. Not only is God doing a new thing in this local church, but I believe he's using us to do a new thing in our communities and throughout our world. We simply need to look over on this table full of crisis care kit supplies to see evidence of that. We expect to send out at least 48 kits, the greatest number we've collected in a single drive in recent history, maybe even in longtime history. We continue to share sermons around the world through our podcast, and this year we participated in an online experiment during Advent and Lent as I joined with other pastors to create a daily devotional for those seasons. We believe that over 500 people participated in those devotionals, with devotionals also being translated into Russian. Church members and friends are actively involved in serving God in their local communities, as well as through missions organizations like the Root Cellar, Meals on Wheels, or Kairos Torch Ministry. Our ministry at Wasamkee Springs has continued to grow, with campground residents being more involved than ever before. Since its inception, 27 families have been ministered to through our grief care mailings, thanks to a partnership with Hobbs and work done by Paul Slocum. Mona has plans to involve our kids in ministry this year through opportunities at local nursing homes or the Veterans Home in Scarborough. Indeed, God is making all things new, not just in us, but through us in the world around. Yes, of all people, we should be overflowing with hope. We should be the most optimistic of all people, for Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs, bestowing life. We look forward to a day when all things shall truly be made new, when Christ shall return, when the new Jerusalem shall descend from heaven, and heaven and earth shall be united as one. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Indeed, he makes all things new. From individuals who encounter him at a well, to the final redemption of the entire universe, and everything and everyone in between. The evidence seems to indicate that he is making all things new among us right here in Cape Elizabeth. May we have the vision to see what he is doing, and may we willingly follow wherever he leads. Indeed, as we enter into this new church here, let us follow Christ together as he leads us forth in triumphal procession, as he makes all things new. I'd like to invite you to join me as we stand together and sing hymn number 261, Christ is risen, Christ is living.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve him this week.